Yeah, he working.
How y'all doing?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Fine.
It's good. That, you know, one of the things I appreciate about us is that we do like each other and talk to each other when we walk in the building. I ain't mad at the fellowship. So it's good to get started with our proclamation, what we proclaim, the good news about Jesus. He's the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how.
morning.
Good morning.
All right, our responsive reading today comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, and it comes from the New Living Translation. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its coat beside it. Untie them and bring them to me."
If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, "The Lord needs them," and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's coat.
The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the coat to him and threw their garments over the coat, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heavens."
Together.
The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning, for this opportunity to come to you and praise your Son, Jesus, Father God.
Yes.
Thank you for all you've done. We thank you for this preacher today. May you bless this preacher for a word for all of us to hear and obey.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for every part of this service, Father God, and may it be pleasing to you. Mm-hmm. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Rode into town looking like a king, looking like a conqueror, but he was on a pony.
The splendor of a king.
Hey!
is our God.
You can sit down.
Good morning.
Oh, Lord, we got a new deacon up front.
What's up, man?
Got a suit on today. He's a whole new person. Praise God. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just by way of a couple of announcements. Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon is going to bring us the word this morning. So, and one of the songs that we just sang were, it was responsive reading that we just did about the palms and the how, you know, the Lord came in right now. Sarah preached about that yesterday.
So true.
So if you did not hear her sermon yesterday, please go back on Blog Talk Radio and listen to that. So she's preaching this morning. Monday, Minister Lachelle Anderson is on Blog Talk Radio with her show Street Love at 6:30. Tuesday, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk with Training Day. Wednesday, 6 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. Is our Bible class. This week, Deacon Charles Tate is teaching the class, and the title of the sermon is The Raising of Lazarus.
Okay.
This Friday, there's no Bring Back the Family because it's Good Friday. So we're going to have our Good Friday service on Blog Talk Radio at noon.
Okay.
You can't have two Blog Talk Radio shows on the same day, so Cat's class is not happening on Friday, but again, we will be having our Good Friday, because it's Good Friday already, which is crazy. But our Good Friday service is on Blog Talk this Friday at 12 noon. All right? So we have a new class that's beginning on April 1st at 6 p.m. entitled The Bible, God's Word to Us. The class is taught by Pastor O. It's 5 weeks long. If you met your deadline of your book, then we have books today?
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody needs to get their book. If you told Pastor Sheila that you needed a book for the class, you can get your book today. The questions are posted on our church website. Pastor has already sent an email with the questions, and then they'll always be on the back table for you for Sunday in person. Everything that we do on Blog Talk Radio, whether it's a Bible class, a ad hoc class, services here are always recorded, archived, and free, so you can always go to our church website and get those. Tithes and offerings, we're obviously going to have that today. If you don't want to give here in the basket, you can always go to the church website and give online. Altar call? We're having that today, right? Okay, altar calls today. Birthdays, this is not the last Sunday. Okay, right, because next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Okay, so birthdays for this month, Pastor Jonathan was on the 1st, Alana and Amir on the 7th, DeLeon on the 8th, James McClendon on the 10th, Darius Freeman on the 17th, and none of Kat's kids are here, but Ayana, her birthday, was on the 20th. And so your devotional for today is entitled, Sunday's Coming. And this one is by Dr. Tony Evans. So it says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, tells us this about Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. It's hard to think about all the suffering Jesus experienced, and we see that as a joyful time. So it's hard to think about all the suffering Jesus experienced and see that as a joyful time. There we go. We know he experienced excruciating pain, a greater pain than any of us are likely to ever face. We call the remembrance of this event Good Friday, but in many ways, it probably felt like a pretty bad Friday when you really think about it. And yet, there was joy set before him. So what does that mean? It means that the thing that saw him through all the pain was the anticipation of the resurrection. He could handle Friday because he knew Sunday was coming. So how can you and I find joy in the midst of the suffering in our lives? How can we respond with hope when it feels like life is crucifying us? If you are hurting, you're hurting. If you're sad, you're sad. If you're depressed, you're depressed. You can't just climb down off the cross of your suffering. Sometimes we have to endure the hard things, the hard times, and the hard circumstances. But at the same time,
we can hold out hope that though it may be Friday today, Sunday is coming. Your pain is real, but so is your hope. And because of that hope, you can find joy even in your darkest moments. There is a resurrection on the horizon. Amen?
Amen.
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 Thank you.
And those are your announcements.
That's right. And those are your announcements.
Thank you.
So far. Make me look good. Make me look good.
That's where I got it from.
So as you see on the screen, it is time for offering, so get your envelopes ready as our deacon prepares to come through the aisles and we're standing to our feet for this next song, which I just thought is just so appropriate we could sing this every Sunday, but...
Thank you.
It is time for us to go to the altar for prayer. Yes. Got a few names added to the list this week. You know, we're continuing to pray for Mackie's mom and her recovery and his care for her. DeAndre is asking for prayer because she's got some decisions to make. Ron Matthews, that is our niece Rachel, her husband. That's our nephew. And you know, Rachel and Melanie just went through the loss of both fathers. And now Ron is having cancer surgery tomorrow. So be in prayer for Rachel and Ron and their family. And it got a lot going on. So just be in prayer for them with us. Of course, we're keeping before the Lord this month Deaconess Lisa and Robin, and Ed and Deaconess Rebecca, and Deaconess Nicole and her family. Keeping Keela, of course, our perpetual people, Darius, Nico, and our sister Doris. I need to get an update on her. Our Run for Christ mothers, it's always good to have Mother Irma, Mother Persia, Mother Cheryl in the house. But we're keeping Mother Marilyn lifted because we know she's been struggling and dealing with some things. Our college students, you know, a lot of them are getting ready for finals. Yes, yes. And a couple of them are getting ready to be done. Woo! Finaled. So we're keeping them in prayer as they enter into this stretch. And of course, their protection, their wisdom, all the things that they need. And then the war is not only in Gaza and Ukraine. We saw what happened in Russia yesterday. And then we know about the ongoing turmoil in Haiti. There's a lot more to it than people, you know, on the surface, we just want to say it was them and voodoo and all that. It's a lot that has happened to cause that. Okay. So get informed. And then, of course, our government, we know, at least praise God, they had sense enough to fund the government this weekend. But as we can see, there's chaos in the House and the Senate. Folk quitting, leaving, and then we have the ongoing political year that we're living in that seems to never end. But as we were reading in our responsive reading, they were excited when Jesus rode in because he had been doing stuff that they needed done. People were sick, he was healing them. Broken, he was restoring them. Overrun by demons, and he was delivering them. Hungry, and he fed them. Gave them hope. Gave them understanding. So when he rode into town, he wasn't riding in just on that little pony like some little weak. They were excited because they said, "Bless be the Son of David, the Messiah that we've been looking for." They were looking for a conqueror. And we know that he did conquer all of our enemies by his blood on the cross. So when we go, we know in this week we celebrate not only his death, but his resurrection to prove that he was able. And we know now he's alive and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for each one of us. So we're not talking and praying to a dead God or a weak God. But we're talking to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Let us pray. This morning, Father, we just want to say thank you for being a good, good father. I love that song about you because you're not a father who says, stand back, you need an appointment. But you're a father who says, come boldly. Come on in here, child. And you don't tell us to come in. Knowing that we fall short every day, knowing that we don't honor and respect you like we should, you still say come. Okay. And you say come because I know you're heavy laden and you know you're burdened and I know you're struggling and I know you're trying and you're failing more than you're trying and you're not succeeding and life isn't like you should be, but you still say come.
Yes, thank you.
Because I can do something about it. I can give you rest. So we're coming to you, Daddy, this morning.
Yes.
And we just say thank you for being our Father who loved us enough to keep looking out on that road as we all prodigals made our way back to you.
Yes.
This morning, Father, we have to thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus, who willingly gave himself as our sacrifice. And by his blood, we are all made clean so we can come to your throne.
Yes, thank you.
But we know, Lord, that there are many, many more you're waiting, beckoning to come home to Jesus. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you move the way you do. Things may not look like they should, but they are going to be as they should one day soon. And we look forward to that. Lord, everybody on this list we hold before you, you know them. You know them better than we could. You know why they're going through what they're going through. And because of that, we know that you are calling them to yourself, to look to you, to trust you, to believe you, to obey you, to follow Jesus, so that we can have life the way you intended it to be. You're able to heal. You're able to deliver. You're able to provide. You're able to keep. You're able to do everything that is on this list. You're able to end wars. You're able to restore order where there's chaos, like in Haiti and at our border and in our government.
Thank you for that ability.
You're able. But you're also lovingly enough that you want us to join you in fixing the problems. So, Lord, we confess that a lot of times most of us just sit around waiting for you to come back so we can go to heaven, not realizing we're supposed to be boots on the ground on earth, that we're supposed to be occupying in enemy territory, taking back the things that have been captured by the enemy because he has no power to hold them. So all we're doing is going into the door that Jesus unlocked, broke down, tore down, and rescuing those who need to come to you. Let us be about your business as he was. Let us be about your will as he was. Let us speak your words as he did. And for your servant today, Lord, we ask that you just pour down on her, Father. We know that she's probably even totally emptied out right now, which is a great thing because that means that what comes out of her is coming from you.
All right.
So, Lord, we ask that we have ears to hear, eyes to see, but more importantly, feet to move. That we do your will, that we stand with you, that we partner with you in this hour, knowing that victory is yours. We praise you. We thank you. We look forward to what you're going to do through us and with us. And we're just submitting ourselves to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we stand in this last song, what a more appropriate song. Victory belongs to Jesus. He's victorious. He's overcome. Do you think so?
Yes.
I mean, come on. We all supposed to be witnesses of the fact that he did. Because we've overcome some stuff that there was no way we should have got out of. So the victory belongs to Jesus. So we don't have to worry about who gets elected and who doesn't. We don't have to worry about who's sitting in power. Because we know who sits on the throne.
Stand against the Lord. No one can, no one will. Who can stand against our King? No one can, no one will. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Who can stand against the Lord? Thank you. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Trust in you. Yes, we put our hope in you. You will deliver. You're a provider. I find my victory in you. Forever victorious. Forever we win.
But we, the people of God, we only have one king. We only have one victim.
Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus.
Thank you. Amen. 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 Right, you asked for new technology, and then it came, and then I was like, how you put this thing on? Amen. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's pray, because I'm excited. No hands. Amen. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for your presence and your power and your glory, Lord. And we ask that you bless this space. Allow only your words to be conveyed, Lord. Allow anything that does not have anything to do with your will or your alignment or anything that has nothing to do with your victory, Lord, allow that to be hindered. Allow only what you want to get through gets through, Lord, and allow us to be able to consume it well and receive it well.
Yes, yes.
Thank you for sending your son as a sacrifice, and thank you for giving us an atonement piece. Thank you for always being there, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So I will be coming today from, and of course, you know, I do a lot of Bible flipping, but we are going to start in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse, where's my book? Air try to take my notes, y'all.
Yeah.
I just thought I was about to. It's a suit. Proverbs chapter 11. Sorry, Proverbs chapter 11. That's why my notes are important sometimes. And we are going to look specifically at verse 2 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 2 and verse 3. And today I am going to be talking about humility. The Lord has been impressing this word on my heart for about a month and a half. And I was able to find two examples of two judges, Samuel and Samson, who are going to do a comparison and contrast about specifically the leadership skill, humility. And so all of you have been in positions of employment and or under someone, and you all know that one of the key leadership skills to have is humility. If you don't have a humble leader, you have a very arrogant leader. And nobody wants to work under someone that is arrogant, unless you're arrogant, and then you two peas in a pot.
Okay.
Right? One of my struggles is humility. And so I say that not to talk down on myself, but to say that sometimes we can put ourselves in positions where God did not put us. We put ourselves there. That's not humility. Humility is the ability to be able to put yourself last if it needs to happen. Humility is the it's an adjective, being humble, is saying that you go ahead. And whatever's left, I'll be okay with it. And then, Rebecca, if there's nothing left, I'll still be okay. That's humility. Humility comes with contentment, being okay with what you have at the time. It's not about going to get more. It's about literally being okay with how you are at the moment.
Okay.
And sometimes it's hard to be humble. Life happens, right? Life happens. And so in spaces where we refuse to be humble, we see God's righteous hand most of the time.
Okay.
And Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar, he refused to be humble. Now we got writing on the wall. He like, huh? Oh, what that mean? Oh, that mean destruction. Oh, wow. And so we are going to do a comparison and contrast with what humility really is and what it is not. Because sometimes we can put our own definitions to things. And earlier, well, last year when I talked about wisdom, we found out that wisdom is not our intellect, it's our obedience. Humility is the same thing. It's not what you think. It's not how popular you are. It's about how well you can obey God's word.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing today.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble, there's wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the treacherous will destroy them. Okay. Samuel followed God, was humble. Samson was not. Both of these people were judges. They both were given the job to convey God's word to God's people and to judge them. Now, Israel was not the best group of people to judge. They're a very self-righteous group. Totally opposite of being humble. When we see Samson, because we see Samson first in Judges chapter 13 and 14, we see him in all his glory, right? And he's magnificent and he's powerful and he's all these things, but he's not what? Humble. Very arrogant man. Hey, look at me. Look at me. I can pick up all these pianos at one time. I watched Encanto. And one of the sisters, her gift was strength. The minute the house started falling apart, her strength fell apart. Her strength was founded in the house. The house started falling apart. There goes her strength. She's literally Rebecca struggling to pick up one goat and crying about it when she could pick up 17 20 minutes ago in the movie. And so sometimes we forget where our strength comes from. That was Samson's problem. His strength was in his hair. He messed up and told somebody where his strength was, and they took it from him, which caused a lot of destruction for Samson. He only served 20 years as a judge compared to Samuel's 40. Ironically enough, Samuel had the same vow as Samson. Nazarite vow. I won't cut my hair. I won't eat off dead carcasses. I basically do everything that you told me to do. When Hannah, Samuel's mother, prayed for him, she prayed that he stay close to that vow, that he didn't lean to the left or to the right. Ironically, after Samson, I would be praying that over my kid too. If I watch Samson go down, why wouldn't I pray for my son that's coming behind him to be better than him? There's no connection, but I'd be drawing lines and making connections and dots. Samuel, in turn, serves 40 years, double what Samson served as a judge. All right. Humility is a verb, the act of being humble. Humble is an adjective showing modest or low estimate of oneself or importance. Being okay with being low socially, administratively, political rank, or by choice. I had a problem with being humble because I'm number 6 out of 7. That's real. The oldest is a girl. The youngest is a girl. I'm the middle girl. I got a problem with that. No, in real life. In real life. That's why he laughing. I also, right, my ego came, because that's what comes with humility, ego. I'm the only one that's his color. That makes me even more special than everybody else. Okay. So sometimes we take our ego and we find things that the Lord has not said. He said, what if that color is to set you apart, homegirl? What are we talking about here? You care about what you look like and being connected to him, and I care about what manifests from that. I know. Then Naomi had chocolate babies. It took over. And so when the Lord pressed upon my heart to be humble and to not have pride, that is where I got stuck. I was like, what? I got a lot of pride. He said, you got a lot of pride, little girl. A lot of pride. Yesterday, some of you heard my daughter read on the radio. Me and my daughter were fighting in the background. I was trying to have her read with her finger. She kept smacking my hand. Pride. Don't help me. I don't need no help. I got it. You're getting the words wrong, little girl. What are we talking about here? You're jumping lines and things. Sometimes our ego gets in God's way. The provision that God provides for us. I knew she was going to get that word wrong. She couldn't get right, Elitris, after we practiced it 25 times. So the minute she got to that word, she looked at me. Never mind, I got it. It's not a princess. It's a castle. It's not a princess. And so we get in God's way and we get things wrong. And then she looked at me like, what's that word again? And we're, Eric, we're going back. What'd you say, Lord? Wait, Hosanna, save me, save me. After I put myself in that space of ego. Okay. Ego. That was, it has been a very, very, very interesting path to walk the humility part. Because you already attacked my wisdom. You don't know everything. Okay. Now he's saying, not only do you not know everything, but you are not the center of attention.
Okay.
Daddy will tell you that broke my heart. Jesus, what? It's not that I don't care about you, but you're not more important than Elitrius, Crystal, Eric. You're not more important than Naomi. Really? It's Naomi. I'm older than her, 11 months. You know more important than anybody else over here. That's why when your ego gets in the way, remind yourself of who created you and what image you bear. I never get here for Sunday school. Y'all know that? Never, never. Today I was like, she dancing on my message, Lord. Because when you talk about being humble, you talk, who are we supposed to be like? Christ. Christ came in on a donkey. As humble as possible. Most kings come on stallions. Big white ones. Big white, I mean, seriously. And then when you see him now, you're like, is he a drug dealer or do he run a church? What he got going on? He got a lot of stuff. And we want that stuff. I want a 745 white with a beige interior. You get an Equinox, okay? And a broke Equinox at that. You get an Equinox. And so, And so sometimes we get in these positions where I'm supposed to have this. And the Lord is like, you're raggedy. You don't even deserve that. Ain't that how we do little kids? You had a bad day at school. You don't deserve it. Well, you had a bad day being a representative of the kingdom. You don't deserve that.
Oh.
And then we, that, oh, what? What? And then we hurry up, try to clean it up. We'd be like, no. The deed has already been done. One of the reasons I had a hard time with the Lord of Humility is because it was getting in the way of being unforgiving.
Okay.
Me not practicing humility got in the way of a lot of relationships. And it wasn't that, I'm not going to say the relationship weren't important. They were important to the kingdom. They're important to what it looks like. A big, big relationship, Naomi. We've been together like 30 some years, Jesus. And we didn't always agree on things to the point where I think two of her pregnancies, we were like at odds. Probably the dark-skinned people. We was at, complete odds to where daddy is like, y'all got to figure this out. Y'all got to figure this out. After mama died, it got worse. It got way worse because now there's no mediator. Somebody has to be humble. And it wasn't her. It wasn't her. The Lord said, when she brings you an issue, I want you to treat her like she's somebody on the street. And I was like, we got to fight? Because that's the first instinct. We got to get it out. He said, no, I want you to initially pray for her, and I want you to give her word, Bible, as if she was a person on the street. Don't look at her like you her sister. I am her sister, though. That's the problem. You the big sister. The problem. There it is. The ego. No. Somebody on the street. That's how you got to treat this girl. It's been about 4 or 5 years now, and things have gotten a lot better because I've humbled to be her friend and not her boss. And so even being in a position where you're put in an authority, right? When people be like, you a pastor? I'd be like, yeah, I still drink regular water though. Don't forget, I still drink regular tap water like everybody else. I'm trying to give you the special water. I don't know how to act with special water. The Lord highlighted that humility and being humble is not weak. It's being meek, M-E-E-K. And those who are meek inherit the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so when we see Samuel and Samson, and we see that they're given the same tasks, but their ego and their humility totally told the consequences in the end of it, right? They give the different inferences. Samuel, humble, obedient, brought up in the word. And don't get me wrong, he was not brought up in the best example. Eli and his sons were canned.
Yeah.
Canned for being completely wicked in front of that little boy. Mm-hmm. We talking about God coming to this little boy as a 7, 8-year-old, 9 little kid saying, hey, guess what? He's done. It's your turn. Mm-hmm. 7, 8, 9 years old? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when as a teacher, I see parents and they talk about their kids and they saying this. What example have you put in front of them? Have they earned their ego from you? Yesterday on the radio, I said, Hunter, yep, I know what's up now. You fight the same demon I fought, and that's okay. We can fight it together. I'm going to jump on you. And to be fair, y'all, the difference I've seen with her, I got it. Okay, look, girl. All right, little girl, you little privileged little self. God gonna get you. And shoot, if you listen to Hunter and you pay attention to Hunter with songs and things, she's connected. She's connected. Because right before that, we were singing and how great is the art, but not scared. She's smacking my hand in the middle of service. So it's a matter of choosing. You choose every second on the minute of the day to be humble. You don't just pour it on and be like, okay, that's it for today, and I'm going to run out when I run out. No. No. Humility is a constant thing. That's why Samson had an issue. He said, I got enough humility. I'm going to take down my own enemies by myself, and you got your hair cut off. Now they got you tied to a pole with no eyes. You can't do nothing but try to wink a little bit to try to do nothing. Then an inch of hair grew back and he pulled everybody down.
Yeah.
We get in spaces where, Lord, what happened? Lord, please save me. Mm-hmm. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. He'd be like, scream your name, remember? Mm-hmm. Scream you. Y'all ain't even see me turn the paper. I just sweating. Jesus Christ. Scream you. Don't scream Hosanna when he said, don't spend that money on that credit card. That's my problem right now. Spending is a spender and it shouldn't be. Don't scream Hosanna when he said, don't get that. Don't talk to them. That's what I tell people. Not that I'm, and I don't consider myself older, right? I'm like 17. I look up and I see how long I've been married. Mind your business. Yep, thank you. 17. I looked up and I said, dang, you've been married almost 10 years?
And 17.
God is good. I was talking to one of my cousins, and so she said, Sarah, I thought I would never see you in this space. I said, ooh, a space where I don't care about what I think anymore? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, God is amazing. He's kind.
Yeah.
God is kind enough to take you out of your ego because he knows it's not good for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
You got to be willing to allow him to take you out of your ego.
Yeah.
God is truly amazing enough to give you everything that you need, including all the humility, all the reverence, all the wisdom, all the things. You got to be ready to receive it.
Amen.
Samson took it as much as he I'm done. You know how you get your 5 words of Bible. Like, okay, that's it for the whole year. That's Jesus wept all year, that's it? Jesus wept all year. This is the day the Lord has made, all year. All year. I'm rejoicing, be glad in it, all year.
Yeah. Okay.
You've never opened your Bible to even read about what made the day happy.
Okay.
Nor have you read your Bible to see how to make somebody else's day happy in Jesus. Dealing with these kids did a lot this year. This group of kids, my last group was kind of boring. This group had me on my toes every day. That's why I look so tired. Y'all think it's this? No, it's these kids at school. One kid asked me, why is it called Good Friday if he died on that day? We got 10-year-olds asking this question. I know, I got to answer it tomorrow. I told him, wait till Monday, till Holy Week, please. But when you think about how humble some children are not, what's your problem? They dealing with their ego.
Yeah.
They don't understand that ego is going to get in the way of God's provision for them. I be dropping nuggets with my kids right now. I be like, come here, girl. If God took everything away, why would you say that, Ma? Because something got to give around here. I took her to the Family Dollar. We walked. By the time we got to Family Dollar, which is a block away, by the way, one block. Ooh, Mama, we got to call an Uber back home. Tell Titi to come get us from Family Dollar. I said, we have locked down. They stay down river. We'll wait, Mama. Your ego allows you to wait 30 minutes for a 10-minute walk. Your ego makes you wait for years in one walk with the Lord. Yeah. Lightens all of that up and you back home.
Yeah.
Where you supposed to be. One decision. And then, y'all, her face when I said we get ready to go, she was, we about to walk back home? Yes. Yes. And you talking to a kid who mama used to push a wheelchair walking so she could care less. Come on. Let's go. 4 or 5 blocks. We're going to church. Walking, pressing our way. Do you press your way to the Lord to build that leadership skill of humility? You're going to need humility to talk to people in the world now. What's their problem? They probably was high when you was talking to them. Oh, well. That's your ego. Just because you don't do that don't mean that they don't need that for them. And they might need it, right? They don't need it, though. We know that. God gives you everything that you need. But you got to get on their level. You got to figure out how to get to them. Because you up here, right? Well, that's not humility. That's arrogance when you up here. When you cannot bring yourself to a space where you can meet someone where they are, you got to check yourself. Because that's beyond humility. You're God now, and that's dangerous. Don't do it. Don't make yourself a God. Even to yourself, that's dangerous. Samuel did everything that the Lord wanted him to. You know how many people Samuel fired? A couple people. He hired Saul and fired him. David, he hired him, almost fired him. And then when it was time for him to go, he was like, well, who gonna take over? Everybody looking around. Because everybody, the cycle is in. Now we repeat it. Now we back to our ego again. Because they wanted to fire, we don't need a judge no more, Samuel. We need a king. Then you get Saul. Do you really need a king? And interesting enough, our ego puts us in places where we don't even listen to the Lord. Before Israel got that king, he told them exactly what was going to happen. Nothing was nice about that warning. You're going to be slaves. You're going to be slaves. Your kids and your grandkids and their dogs are going to be slaves. You know I love dogs. You know I love dogs. And your dogs. Everybody around you is going to be slaves. Because you need a king, right? Our ego can sometimes put us in places where we ask for stuff we don't need. Lord, why I don't got that car? Girl, you ain't got enough money to pay for the car if it break. That's why I ain't got no Benz lease. But I want one so bad. It puts us in spaces where we forget where our help comes from. We're our own creator. That's dangerous. Y'all, we know that's dangerous. I've been watching stuff about false prophets and all this other stuff. And listen, at first, y'all, I was like, la, 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 la. They're like, what are you doing? Because I don't even want to be exposed to it. But I got to know what they're saying so I can know how to expose them. Dealing with children are going to expose you. Children are going to look you up. Kids were looking me up on Google. I was like, get off of Google with my name. Miss Sarah, what's Tate? What's that? It's my maiden name. I thought your name was Miss Sarah. Okay, listen, y'all gotta pay attention to school. Pay attention to school, y'all. But I'm humble enough to spell my name for them. Here you go. So y'all can just look up the right person and go back to work. But what makes them look a person up? I need to know about them. I want to know what they do. I want to know how. What I want to know about their dirty little past. They thought it was gonna find something on me here. No.
No.
Thank the Lord. Humility allows you to be flexible.
Okay.
We want to know why church isn't growing in spaces. I actually heard a church from when I was younger actually closed. Like, they're done. Mm-hmm. They got a school at the bottom. How'd that happen?
Okay.
And so sometimes lack of humility puts us in spaces where even God looks like he does not provide. We make him look like that when we're not humble.
Okay.
We make God look insufficient. I know. When we're not humble. Insufficient. Literally. You cannot do, you know, you are not sovereign enough to provide for everyone and what they need and give them everything that they need for their heart. You're not sufficient enough. When we let our ego lead. That's dangerous. Humility is the key value in forgiveness, Colossians 3:12. Humility is a precedent for our walk with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:12. Humility is coupled with reverence for the Lord for reward. And humility has wisdom as a byproduct. And so when you think about being humble and you think about being in a space where you're open, that's a perfect space for the Lord to use you. Perfect space for the Lord to use you. James chapter 4, verse 10. Let me look it up real quick. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. We're always looking for elevation. We're always looking for more. We're always looking for the Lord to do exceedingly and abundantly. And you got to humble yourself first. You got to make yourself available for the Lord. Everything that you think has to go out the window. And I used to call it a challenge of your thinking. It's not a challenge of your thinking, because that means your thoughts are still there. You are literally emptying your nest of thoughts so the Lord can fill them up with humility. And then he'll exalt you. I asked, somebody asked, you gonna get your doctorate? I was like, Jesus Christ, no. Right? And then the Lord was like, what's wrong with that idea? If it's in something for me. I was like, okay, all right, Lord, here we go. And then he said, have you even thought about the idea of just representing me in a space of education? Where the people might not look like you, and they don't, they white dudes. Where restorative practices isn't the center idea of things, but it should be. If you're not humble enough to accept where you are, then you won't be humble enough to let the Lord exalt you. You'll always tell him that you're not good enough. That's kind of where I'm at right now. The Lord is saying, you're a leader, you're this, and I'm like, but I grew up on Polk Street. You remember them? And he was like, yeah, but that was like 20 years ago. Yeah, but we walk around with these things. We carry these things. And the Lord is like, humble yourself. Set it down. Set it. Humble yourself isn't always a fix your attitude. It's a, hey, take a rest time. Take a break real quick. Hear me. When you're resting and you're regenerating, most of the time you're meditating on something. Meditate on God's word. Mm-hmm. When we talk about things that alter our minds and alter our egos and guide our thinking, think about what God wants us to do. You got a purpose. You got a purpose. And sometimes we don't feel like we're living up to that purpose. We don't feel like that the Lord hears that we want a new purpose. Ain't that crazy? Sometimes we ask for a new purpose. Lord, just give me something different. Come on, give me something different. He's like, not possible, seriously. Seriously, not possible. Change your thinking so that you align with me. Humble yourself so I can exalt you in that space. Don't ask for a new plan. Think about when you take a test at school. Who gonna ask the teacher for a new test? You would. You probably would. Yep. You get modified test or accommodating test based off your learning ability. But that also takes a lot of time and testing and all that to see where your learning ability is. At first, you're with everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's how God look at us. All equal. Mm-hmm. All equal. Don't ask him for a new test. Humble yourself. Study for the test. Study for the test, you'll get an A. Humble yourselves, he'll exalt you. Study for the test, you'll get an A. Sometimes the tests are pop quizzes. You still have to have a level of humility for that. Okay. Don't walk in. I had a student tell me earlier, I'm smarter than you. Oh, Jesus Christ. I said, right, you smarter than me right now? You weren't smarter than me when I was in fifth grade. Let's be clear. See, ego, my ego. Yep. He was like, the Lord was like, I was like, ooh, you right, Lord. You right. Okay, you think you're smarter than me for real? Okay, we'll see. Then we got to add and subtract the fractions. Baby, he was over there sweating, struggling. I was like, you all right? You don't know your nines? Dang. What you need, 9 times 7? I got you in 3 seconds, 56, I got you. 63, see, my bad, you know, see? I teach ELA. And so sometimes, the Lord will, I don't want to say bless your ego, but sometimes your intellect could be aligned with his, but then we mix it up by saying he blessing our ego instead of just giving him credit. Okay, I got you. Sometimes we are receiving the blessings of God in our intellect, and we assume that he's feeding our ego. Mm.
Okay.
It's not him. It's him exalting you so he can use you in his space.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, this one, I told me, I was just like, nah, I put out a little ego person and I got to fix her and I got to, Lord, help us all because we all ego people. We know everything all the time. And the Lord was like, I mean, it's a daily thing. Everybody struggles with something. What do you struggle with? It's connected to your ego. It's connected to the piece that tells you that God is not sufficient enough. That's ego. He's not sufficient enough. I got it. That's ego. We be like, Satan, Sarah. Okay? Don't, not that S, Sarah. That S. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. You know when you in a space of arrogance. You know when you are not being humble at something, about something. And when you don't, God does a good thing and use people to remind us. And guess what we do to them? Shut up. You don't know what you talk about. Shut up. And we quick to tell somebody to mind their business. Or are they helping your ego? Are they helping you loosen your ego? Was their job to help you be humble? That was Samuel's job. Samuel's job was to keep Saul humble. He was like, Lord, he teared it up. Get rid of him. He tore it down already. Been in job 4 days and he done tore it down. And so when you think about humility being a leadership skill, everybody's a leader in the kingdom.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody, yep, even you, Rebecca. Everybody's a leader. She said, oh, like, oh, wait, I'm just the deaconess. No, ma'am, you're a leader. And you're going to be used in different spaces. Everybody, me and Auntie Janice are not used in the same space at the same time all the time for the kingdom. I had to realize that. There are some things that we are going to be contrast and some things are going to be comparison, but our foundation has to be the kingdom. Or it's not going to work. We're not going to be able to do what we do on Sundays if it's not humility involved. Think about how we started as a church. Had to be some type of humility involved. I had a lot of humility putting up them chairs, Jesus. It was almost as if like the Lord dropped off a lawnmower and was like, here, take a chair. And I was just like, I am sick of serving with him. He yells in the morning. He's ready to go at 7:45. I just got off the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning with my friends. I'm tired, Lord. Humble yourself. Get up. Go serve with him. Them. Because it was him and her. Them. Go serve with them. Do what you're supposed to do for the kingdom. And I'm, listen, and once I found out that pastor and his wife was appreciative, I'm not saying I didn't care what they thought anymore, but I was more happy to serve pastor and his wife. As long as he ain't bring them all lawnmowers back, baby. When we got here and we had to set up no chairs, I was like, bless the Lord. Oh my soul. And we got a basement. This is great. No more chairs. I ain't got to do no speak. They don't even trust me with the speakers. That's good. So even in that space, when you think about how God takes you from one place to another, we were, I'm not saying forced out of the VFW hall, but that was kind of what happened. That was kind of what happened. And if pastor would have an ego about himself, I don't know where we would be at. If pastor wife said, we not doing that. I don't know. Because we were literally taken from one space and forced into the next. It takes humility to move. It takes humility to move, live, and have your being in God. Because you're going to ask God, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? Please be quiet. Where are we going? Why are we there yet? Are we there yet? How long does that take? Where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? And he's going to be like, you don't trust me? Humility also is linked to trust. Trusting God. When you're humble, you're saying, hey, Jehovah Shammah, come on in. I'm there. Peace, come on in. You're ready to accept all the things when you're humble in front of the Lord. Yeah. And then I asked him, I said, so what comes after humility? He said, well, that's when you get wisdom in things. That's when your heart is in a good space. That's when depression goes away. It's not always material things, those tangible things. Right. Sometimes it's really your state of being that is at war, right, with the Lord. You not being humble is you fighting with the Lord and telling him, I got it, I got it, I got it. I made myself. I made the trees outside. I provide water. Lord, look at me. And he'd be like, fool, are you serious? I do this one time and you're done. And we really forget that. We scream sovereign. We scream sovereign. We scream holy, but we're also screaming obscenities at that point. Because you saying holy out loud and your heart saying uh-uh, and you still won't get that, Lord. It's a choice. Jesus deciding to come in on a donkey was a choice. Jesus deciding to come through the sheep gate on purpose was a choice. Him even deciding to fulfill prophecies from the Old Testament, a choice. All to make the kingdom look good. One bad choice he would have made, we all going to hell. And that's it. One bad choice, and he would not have been able to be the atonement piece because he had to be blameless. There was a lamb at the school on Friday. I don't know where it came from. It was 12 days old, Crystal. It was so cute. You know I thought it was so cute. And there was she was all white. Her name was Lily. And she was just prancing around, prancing around, prancing around. And then my boss started singing, Now Behold the Lamb. I said, wait, not the slaughter song. But and she holding it, singing it. I was like, wait. But she was like, look at it. And she was pure white. Not a spot on her. She don't look diaper too, but it was so cute. It was so cute. It was white. It was white. Everything was white on her. And I said, very interesting that I got to speak this weekend and I get to see this little lamb just walk around. And I got to touch her. And then the Lord was like, how does she look? And I said, she's so cute. He said, well, Jesus was so cute, right? And I was like, oh, here we go. He was like, think about it. Think about a person that does not bother anybody. Okay. Think about a person who literally intends on doing well by others and wants nothing in return. Jesus poured out his soul for us. Jesus poured out everything that he had to prove that he had the ultimate humility to follow God. What's our problem? We won't even give extra at church, and that's not my message. They'll be all right. They got it together. We'll get it eventually. And then on the other hand, what we waiting on? Why we don't got it? It's still in your bank account. And that's not to say that you got to give and give and give, but don't complain. Don't complain if you're not putting towards the kingdom. Don't complain. I ain't gonna let you complain about this space. Don't say it in front of me. I'm gonna be like, hey, come here. Don't complain. Don't tell God. Look at them kids over there. They so raggedy. If you're not gonna go over there and talk to them kids, don't call an old. You know, that was me. I used to call this one old lady mean. Oh my gosh, she was terrible. But I found out it was just me. It was a me thing. Me and you know, I will always misinterpret her meanness, and she was a prayer warrior. So how many prayers could I have gotten through with her if I would have humbled myself and realized that everybody's not going to approach you like you want them to? Amen. Everybody's not going to say what you want them to say. You're not the center of attention. Jesus is. You're not the center of attention. So who you telling? I'm still learning. Every time I pick up the phone to call daddy, I'd be like, okay, if he says no, you got to be okay with that. And I'd be like, oh, don't say no, daddy. But he said no, and I had to be okay with that. I'm better now. James is there. But at the same time, James say no sometimes too, and I'd be stuck. Eric, you got to humble. You got to be humble. Humility is also connected with... I lost it. Humility is also submissive, being submissive. Understanding you are not in control. Okay. Samuel understood he was not in control. Samson did not. Samson was in control, which means Samson fell hard. Samuel knew who was in control, and Samuel served double what Samson did. And was laid to rest peacefully. Samson came down with the Philistines. Stoned, literally. So I encourage you to build on that leadership gift of humility, because we're all given it. God wants you to be a leader in the world based on your humility. You got to be able to reach people. You got to put yourself to the side. You might think they socks don't match. That's on you. That's your opinion. Don't say it out loud. And when you say it in your head, 1 John 1:9 too, because sometimes your socks don't match. That's real. Sometimes you don't feel like being all cute and stuff, and then you'll tell somebody else they're not cute. And then when you come up cute, why didn't tell me I was cute? Because you didn't poop on they cute. So be humble. We want to know what's going on in the world. People are not humble. People are calling crazy people crazy. And guess what? Oh, well, if they crazy. You crazy too. You crazy enough to not be humble enough to call them crazy. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us a space and a platform and time to be able to unwind what it is that you want from us, Lord. Allow us to be able to be humble, Lord. Allow us to be able to hear from you and move exactly when you say move, Lord. Thank you again for being merciful and kind and just. And we ask that you bless every family that's represented here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Girl, okay.
That was a good sermon.
Yes, ma'am.
I think everyone could basically relate to that because we still got that ego.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to sit that aside like God in
this. Yes.
So anything I like to do. See the scripture on 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 13 and 14 says, don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals and the offerings brought to the temple? and those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Would you like to take a love offering for the speaker?
Come on. I'm putting my thighs on.
Keep the dabs on back to the face, girl.
Appreciate you.
Yes.
I'm sweating.
I said this about my feet today.
I'm
going to
read about
So while the basket is passing, be mindful of all of our announcements and our prayer list and each other. And it's, next Sunday is what?
Easter.
Resurrection Sunday.
Yes. So since it's Resurrection Sunday, ask some of your friends to resurrect their bodies and come on up to the house. But we just make sure, you know, got to get the three in. Christmas is fast. Mother's Day is coming. So Easter is in the middle. CME. So we need to make sure we get in the house. Yep, they're going to hear that on the recording. They're going to be like, look at God. He's blessed us. Remember Snowmageddon? Supposed to be Friday. If you lived in this area, it wasn't. But other people got it. So we've been blessed all winter. All winter. So the excuses we have, other than I'm sick, I can't get there, they not working. So come on, stand to your feet. Got to turn the thing. Because it's not that we're trashing the song, but for this month, we've learned a new song that we're singing to each other, the benediction. And then we'll have Sarah pray us after the benediction. So declare your name, we'll be back, because you know we got our kids. We got to keep Junior Praise Team working. You say it's, see, you and me, but you know, we had to work our way to change, because. So this is the blessing to each other.
Bye.
expectations of what you want, Lord. And thank you again for being present. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Beautiful.
Thank you, song.
Beauty.
You were stuck in
the song. Beauty.
What's that?